Looking at our world from a theological perspective. This is the Theology Central Podcast, making theology central.
Good morning, everyone. It is Saturday, September the 25th, 2021. It is currently 9:52 a.m. Central Time, and you know where I am. I'm here in the empty sanctuary of Victory Baptist Church, located right here in the middle of nowhere, Texas. And I'm going to try to do something in this episode, and I don't know if I'm going to be very successful. My goal is to try to have just a very calm, reasonable discussion where I tell you about something that has been going on, something that continues to happen, continues to go on within the evangelical church. And there's a part of me that could just turn on this microphone and go in a full-blown rant. Just start losing my mind, yelling, screaming, raising my voice. And it may be entertaining, right? A lot of people, you know, when I go on a full-blown rant, some people like it. Some people hate it. Some people it makes mad. But those are the programs that usually you can be assured you're going to get that reaction, right? One of the things they tell you when you start podcasting, if you read articles about how to do a podcast, is have an opinion, have a strong opinion, and state it clearly. And the reason why is strong opinions create reaction, right? People are either going to hate you or love you, but as long as they are reacting, that's a good thing. Because in many cases, if you turn on a microphone, and even if you tick off people, right, you make them angry, there's this weird, strange phenomenon. Sometimes the more angry you make them, the more they will listen to you, right? I mean, there's a fine line because at some point you may push them away. But in many cases, they will keep listening just because you make them so angry. But a strong opinion, people are going to take they're going to take sides, but they will be talking about you. They're going to be commenting. They're going to be sharing it. They're going to be emailing you. And that generates that buzz, and that's a way to success. But sometimes the way to success may not be necessarily what's beneficial for your listeners, right? What's most important, your success or actually benefiting your listeners? Well, from a theological perspective, what's more important than success is obviously ministering to the listeners, right? So I think there are times that it's clearly appropriate to demonstrate a little bit of righteous indignation, a little righteous anger, and demonstrate that this situation is serious and it is wrong and it's unacceptable. I think there are times for that. But with this situation that we're getting ready to talk about in this episode, I don't know if that's beneficial here. And the reason why is, first, I'm just exhausted, discouraged, depressed, saddened, frustrated. Yes, there is anger, but the anger is given away to just discouragement, depression, embarrassment, shame, almost just wanting to wash your hands of the entire situation and walk away. And that is a dangerous thing to say. It really is, because I'm talking about the thing that I'm discouraged about, the thing I'm depressed about, the thing I just want to wash my hands of and walk away is evangelical Christianity itself. Christianity, not Christ. Christianity, not God's word. And so sometimes what I do, I've coined a term to try to draw a distinction. So in many cases, I guess what I should say, churchianity, the Christianity of the evangelical church. I want to wash my hands of that. I want to walk away from that. Not Christianity in the sense of being about Christ, but obviously, you understand, we can use the term Christianity to talk about the truth of Christ, the truth of his word, or Christianity, and I'll use the term churchianity. So I'm going to use the term churchianity to say that's the thing I've become just absolutely despondent, discouraged, frustrated, sickened, saddened, disgusted by. And especially how the church, and we just talked about this in the last broadcast, if you were listening, the glorified God test. You really should listen to that, because I think even though I may not have communicated it as clearly as I wanted, I still think that I put forth a very interesting concept and idea to consider. But I just think that watching how the church has conducted itself during a global pandemic, and again, I know that's redundant, but I just want to really emphasize it for emphasis purposes, global pandemic. It went around the world, people getting sick and people dying. The way the church conducted itself during this time of great crisis, sickness, and death is an absolute embarrassment. It's a shame. We did not glorify God. We did everything opposite to that. And I've really been very bothered by it. And the article I have here in front of me is just another example of how the church conducted itself. Now, again, I want to tell you about it, and I could rant and rave and scream about it, but I truly want to understand what is wrong with Christianity attempts or churchianity. What is wrong? It's like Christians have lost the ability to think, to reason, to consider. So many Christians during the pandemic have just said things to me that I'm just absolutely like, what are you talking about? Like, you're just looking at them like, I've literally asked myself, do I need to come to the pulpit and do sermons on, I don't know, the logical fallacies? What are the major logical fallacies? On how to, you know, how to research things. Like, do I have, I mean, it's almost like I don't know what to do anymore. Like, how do you get Christians to learn to think? And you would think that Christians would be the thinkers, because we believe in about being good stewards of what God has given to us, and He's given us a brain. So why wouldn't we be the ones utilizing it and utilizing thought? I don't know. Again, I'm going to get frustrated. I don't want to get frustrated. I'm just truly trying to understand it. But before we do anything, I have to read this verse, right? Because I've now read, it literally feels like for me, the verse that everyone should have had memorized and been repeating every day since the pandemic started is this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. This is for believers. This is for the church. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Put away lying. Christianity should not be the source of misinformation. Christianity should not be the source of lies, of deceit. It should never be the source of it. The church should not be the place where people are receiving false, fraudulent, wrong, crazy information. It should not. Put away lying. Speak every man truth. And why do we speak truth with his neighbor? For we are members one of another. Because we have a responsibility and a connection to one another. We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to even love our enemy. So the last thing we want to do is lie to people. Give them wrong information. Misinformation. And I have watched, I know in 2021, I should already be so used to this. But I'm not used to it. I've grown so tired of it. Let me go through just my history with the church and crazy misinformation. Let me just go through my history with it. It starts before I even become a Christian. Even before I become a Christian. Here in West Texas during the 80s. Again, if you want some kind of idea of what it looked like, Footloose is a kind of an example, but because it was literally in the 80s, there were small Texas towns that literally had bans on dancing. So that's something that was true in this part of the country. But during the 80s, oh my goodness. West Texas in the 80s. It was a full-blown declared war on rock and roll, on heavy metal, on hard rock. It was a full-blown declared war on bands like Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, Ozzy Osbourne, Black Sabbath. We could go on. Wasp, Twisted Sister. I could go through all Motley Crue. I mean, we could go on and on. I could just, you know, because I'm a big music fan. I can name, you know, all the bands from the past. I can name, you know, music from today as well. But you get the idea. It was an absolute war. And so it was very common for the local churches in this area to hold basically a one-night rock and roll conference. And this is what they would do. The pastors would come in and they would They would have these big speakers, hooked up. They would play clips for music. They did the whole backward masking thing. They would have music played backwards because, you know, if you played, Bites the Dust. What does that say? Smoke Marijuana, something like that. Stairway to Heaven, you know, Worship Satan. I can't remember all the words, but out there had all of these songs and you would play them backwards. And those were your mind is hearing the words. Your conscious mind is hearing the lyrics going forward, but your subconscious mind is picking up what's really there if you were to play it backwards. Right. So it was backward masking in there. And that means that's going to get kids to worship Satan and get kids to smoke marijuana. It was just crazy. But it was very common to have this one night like conference, bring in some supposed expert, talk about music. They would have slides where they would show the cover art from albums. They would read the lyrics. They'd play clips of the songs. It was just crazy. And then in many cases at the end, either that night or the next day, many of the church would gather together and then they would burn albums, something straight out of, you know, Nazi Germany, crazy, and they'd burn the albums. Now, in many cases, supposedly it was people burning albums because they wanted to. In many cases, it was parents making their kids burn their albums because now the parents were like, oh no, demons are going to come out of their speaker. Satan is everywhere. Our kids are going to, and they would lose their mind. So I watched this happen. Now, I would attend these conferences, these one night conferences, not because I believed what they were saying, but I found it to be entertaining, right? Entertaining in this. It's to watch these pastors read lyrics or say things about bands that was 1,000% wrong, false. Either A, they could not interpret the lyrics that they were reading. They didn't know what they were saying. They were saying things about bands that had been so disproven. They were talking about urban legends and myths. It was ridiculous. It was like fun entertainment. Like these, what are these people talking about? Like these people are complete, just, I hate to say it, complete idiots. That's the way in fact, I probably said a lot of other words. I wasn't a Christian at the time. I had a lot of things to say about them. It was based off not just a disagreement. It was based off the fact that they were just straight up lying from the pulpit. They were just straight up lying, misrepresenting, not knowing what they're talking about. Clearly not even understanding what the songs were about. There was not even an attempt to correctly understand it. And you're just like, what's your agenda here? Is your agenda to speak the truth? Because you're up there lying through your teeth. You're up there lying. You're not knowing. And some people say, well, it's not that you're just lying, that they're ignorant. Okay, whatever it's not, whatever you want to say, it's lying or ignorance. I can tell you this, it was wrong and it was misinformation and it was fraudulent. That should never be the case with the church. But I watched that happen over and over. Back again in the 1980s, we were convinced in the 1980s here in West Texas that there were teams, groups, gangs of Satanists walking around seeking to kidnap children and offer them as a satanic sacrifice. It got so bad that I don't remember which year, but they had placed a curfew in some small Texas towns on Halloween because they were afraid kids were going to be kidnapped by gangs of Satanists. It was insane. And one of the major contributors to a lot of the satanic craze that was sweeping a part of Christianity in the 80s was Mike Warnke from his book, The Satan Seller, which he claimed to have one time be a satanic high priest. And then he converted when he was in the Navy and the whole story. And Mike Warnke was a Christian comedian. He wrote the book, The Satan Seller. And guess what? I come to find out that the whole thing was a fraud, lie, and he made up the whole story. Yeah. So again, a lot of it was based off, again, lies and misinformation. That was in the 80s. You move into the 90s. I saw the church make so many claims about so many different things. I could go all day and just wrong. But I think it took on a whole new level once the internet became prominent, because now Christians We're gathering information from, who knows, sometimes very questionable sources. And as a result, they begin to spread the lies and lies and lies and lies. Way back when I did a different podcast a long time ago, where I covered mainly news, and that turned into something bigger than I never dreamed that what that was going to turn into. I decided, oh, I'll offer a little bit of news commentary, and it'll be, you know, nice. It turned into this big. I was asked to do this, and it turned into something. I wasn't prepared for what it all turned into. It was so consuming, because when you're covering news, it's basically 24/7. So it became a lot. But I discovered early on, then, at that point in time, this 2000s, that something had dramatically changed within Christianity, that now more and more fraudulent, fake, conspiratorial thinking was sweeping through the church. I didn't know how bad it was getting, but I constantly kept fighting against it. But what really convinced me something was horribly wrong was the emails I would get. They were like it's trying to talk to insane people. You're like, what are you talking about? So I heard things like that Obama, you know, is a Muslim, and he's going to put us in FEMA camps, and they have the FEMA camps ready with body bags, and that Obamacare is going to force us, that we're all going to be chipped. We're all going to receive a microchip in our bodies, and that this is preparing the way for the Antichrist. And I heard so many things about what Obama was doing. Obama this, Obama that, Obama this, Obama that, Obama this, Obama that. And then 99.9% of all the things that people said did not come to pass. Clearly they were proven wrong. Clearly they were proven fraudulent. But did that stop them? Oh, absolutely not. They just moved on to the next conspiracy theory. And they just moved on to the next. And they moved on to the next. And they moved on to the next. And then I kept seeing it. Now, it's not as prominent today because they found new sources, but there was a time that Alex Jones was really gaining a lot of influence, or gaining momentum and influencing many within the evangelical Christian church. And I would get emails from people. And when I would say, that's crazy, that's a conspiracy theory, and I would literally receive emails from professing Christians saying, I don't care if it's a conspiracy theory. I don't care if you call it a conspiracy theory, because I believe in conspiracy theories. I believe in conspiracy. The Bible talks about conspiracies. And you're like, what in the world? Like, you could not even have rational conversation. And at some point you just have to say, well, you know, sorry, you don't want to listen to me anymore. There's the door, because I don't know what else I can do. But I've watched it happen over and over and over. And it's like they never learn. They never learn. And we've watched this. Just follow the train of thought here. Before we even get to COVID, the whole election, President Trump losing the election to Joe Biden, and then it turned into, no, Trump did not lose the election. It was stolen. It was stolen. And that these the voting software was changing the votes. And it was like everywhere. American Family Radio went nonstop with this theory. All over. It was stolen. It was stolen. It's going to be proven. They played audio clip after audio clip of Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani saying crazy, outlandish, crazy things, claiming they had all of this proof. And they claimed it and they claimed it and claimed it. And guess what? They never demonstrated the proof. They never demonstrated any. And I had Christians emailing me, arguing with me. None of them have emailed me back saying, oh, you know what? Yeah, obviously the evidence I thought was there wasn't there. And I've not had any apology. No, they'll just move on to the next one. And then they move on to the next one. And that situation, in fact, I may have it. Let me see here. I should have saved the article. I may not have access to it. Yeah, here we go. Here's the headline. GOP, the Republicans, review, finds no proof that the Arizona election was stolen from Trump. This is published today. So the GOP, they did a review. Okay, I got to close that. They did a review, and they found that there's no proof that the Arizona election was stolen from Trump. Right? A Republican-backed review of the 2020 presidential election in Arizona's largest county ended Friday without producing proof to support former President Donald Trump's false claims of a stolen election, After 6 months of searching for evidence of fraud, the firm hired by Republican lawmakers issued a report that experts go on to say. In fact, as a result, they found that Biden won by 360 more votes than the official results certified last year. Right. And then they go on to say. See, where is it? I can't remember how much money it cost to do this. It's something like $6 million, some crazy number of amount of money spent for this. Now, I know there's some criticizing the whole thing, that the whole report was riddled with errors. But these are the people hired by the Republicans to prove this. I'm trying to find the amount of money that was spent. It's crazy how much money was spent on doing this. But all this money was spent. And guess what? They didn't find anything. And Christians everywhere were walking around. It was stolen. It was stolen. It was stolen. It was stolen. Stop the steal. Stop the steal. That's what led to the whole riot at the Capitol. That was the whole thing. This belief that it was stolen. And let me make it very clear. Many Christians were leading that charge. Many Christians were claiming that. Christian radio programs, pastors, many cases from the pulpit, was putting forth that idea. Why? Why do Christians constantly fall for this stuff? Why? Well, guess what? So there's that one. I could read all of this article, but I don't want it to turn into a whole discussion about the election. Again, you can go back and listen in our archive where I played literal clips from, I got to find the article that I'm supposed to be covering right here. Okay, here we go. Right, I was like, I lost the article that I need. Okay, I'm going to be reading this article in a minute. But I played literal clips from Christian radio where they kept promoting Sidney Powell and all of her outlandish claims, Mike Lindell, all of his outrageous claims, Rudy Giuliani, all of them. And then they kept saying, you can trust them. These are the best people. They know what they're talking about. Do you think Christian radio ever retracted or offered an apology or repented of putting forth those lies? No, you just move on. And that's the thing. Look, when the world puts forth the lies, I don't get bothered. But when the church is doing it, when we have scripture, that means, look, when you're putting forth lies, you are committing sin. But that's a sin that doesn't need to be repented of. You can literally stand behind the pulpit and say, there's no pandemic. And guess what? You never have to repent of that. No matter how many people get sick and how many people die, even if you yourself come down with COVID, there's no pandemic. And you look up the definition of a pandemic and go, well, COVID would clearly meet the definition of a pandemic based off any reading of the definition. But no, don't have to apologize. So nobody is held accountable. You lie, and that's biblical, and that's okay in the minds of many Christians. No accountability, no repenting, no apologizing. Why is it that Christians can't see that you have a responsibility to speak the truth? Do not bear false witness. When you're saying things about people, whether it's President Obama, whether it's Trump, whether it's Biden, and they're not true, that is bearing false witness. Speak the truth. I thought Christians were like, God hates lying lips, right? I think Christians say that, right? Oh, yeah, because the Bible talks about God hating lying lips. But it's not even a sin anymore. It's not even nobody even cares anymore. Nobody cares. Well, guess what? Christians have been, throughout the pandemic, promoting this one. And this is nothing new, because I've heard this said about the flu vaccine. I heard this said about Obamacare. I've heard this said about everything. But here we go. You ready? This was an article published on September the 24th. So this is in the news. And again, is this glorifying God? This is how the world looks at Christianity today. This is not bringing glory to God. Once again, we make it about ourselves and we end up looking crazy. Here we go. How the evangelical Christian right seeded the false, yet surprisingly resilient theory that vaccines contain microchips. Now, I want to make it very clear. Christians, many Christians, have been saying this going all the way back to the 1990s. I have heard by this time, considering that I've been hearing this theory at least since the 1990s, I worked in the medical world for 22 years. I remember someone in the because where we had the record section, the medical record section, and right across the hallway to the right was the immunization clinic where people would come to get immunized and vaccinated and get their vaccinations. And I remember one time someone standing there, and I don't remember who, I don't know if it was a dependent, I don't know who it was, I don't remember all the details because that's a long, long, long time ago, but yelling and screaming that don't get a vaccine, it's putting a microchip in you, it's putting a chip in you, and just yelling and screaming, and you're just, what is wrong with this person? What is wrong with this person? Have you lost your ever-living mind? So by this point, everyone should already be chipped. Obamacare was going to chip us. The flu vaccine was going to chip us. So at this point, everyone should already be microchipped. So I don't even know why we're fighting anymore. And what's crazy is I got here holding in my hand. Oh, you hear that? That's my phone, right? That's an iPhone. Okay. I could care less about the phone. I never use it, but I've been instructed by my family that I have to have it because of my seizure disorder. So I have to have it with me, but I have a phone. Now here's, it's like you almost can't laugh. You have to laugh, but it sometimes you just like, it just shows you like what has happened to Christianity. They're sitting there holding a phone going, hey, we don't want to get that vaccine because it's going to put a microchip in us and they're going to be able to track us and they're going to know where we are. And I'm like, hey, you're holding a cell phone in your hand, which literally tracks everywhere you go. It pings off cell towers. People can track you. They can know exactly where you go. In fact, if you have an iPhone, your family can literally have, I think it's called, I don't know what the app is, Where Is My iPhone, wherever. You can literally track everyone in your family and know their whereabouts by just simply looking. By, if they have an iPhone, you can track where they are. You can know where your teenager is. You can, wherever that phone is, you know where it is. That phone tracks you. And what's crazy is that these are the same people like, I can't get that vaccine because it has a microchip. And they're on social media. And in many cases, they have the tracking on their social media. And I don't know if it still does it, but I know it used to on Facebook. Now, this is going way, way back. I haven't been on Facebook in, 10 years, ever how long it's been. But it will literally say, you know, this person's just checked in at Starbucks. This person just arrived at this gym. Literally, it's showing everyone where you are. So between social media and your phone, in many cases, then they post pictures of, hey, I'm on vacation. They're showing the whole world everywhere they are. But that's okay. But no, don't get the vaccine. Don't get the vaccine. You literally let everyone know everything you do, everything you eat on social media. You carry a phone that tracks everything you do. But guess what? Guess what? Guess what? I can't get the microchip. And it's like, what? Don't you see how utterly insane that all sounds? But okay, so here's the thing. Christians continue to promote this theory, right? So let's read it. How the evangelical Christian right seeded the false yet surprisingly resilient theory that vaccines contain microchips. The groundless conspiracy theory that vaccines contain microchips is believed by thousands. I don't even know if that's, I think it may be even far more than thousands. I think it's probably frightening how many people believe it, because I've just heard this nonsense put forth on too many Christian podcasts. The narrative has deep roots in the right-wing evangelical movement. Prominent figures turbocharged the theory in the era of COVID-19, helping drive U.S. vaccine hesitancy. Back in August, the right-wing evangelical Mike Staver appeared on an hour-long live stream hosted by the World Prayer Network. Now, please note, this is right there in within evangelical Christianity. In it, he told listeners that vaccines for COVID-19 were not meant to save the world from the pandemic, but instead to radically depopulate it. Now, let me stop right there. Now, the idea that vaccines are created to depopulate the world has been put forth for a very, very, very long time. If you are a listener to InfoWars, Alex Jones' program, he has been yelling and screaming that the vaccines are being developed by Bill Gates to depopulate the world. He has been yelling and ranting and screaming about that for, it seems like, forever. And yet, here we are. Supposedly, vaccines are killing millions and millions and millions of people a year. If I remember correctly, I have to go back, so I cannot be dogmatic about it. Well, I won't say it, because since I don't have the information in front of me. But let's just say I have heard plenty of people making claims that even COVID is the vaccine, not the virus, but the vaccine is killing millions of people. That any deaths attributed to COVID is really because of the vaccine. The vaccine's killing everyone. I've heard this over and over and over and over again. I'm going to get emails from people trying to promote these very theories. You watch. I guarantee you. And they're going to claim to be Christians. They're going to claim to be followers of Christ. And they're going to be claiming that God has shown them this and that I'm blinded by Satan. I mean, I get these emails all the time. The groundless theory has no evidence at all to support it, but has proved durable all the same. What is involved in this depopulation? They're quoting from Matt Staver. Okay. I quote, what is involved in this What is involved in this is depopulation. There we go. Population control, to reduce the population of the planet and to control everyone, and to do it by force and to have a tracking mechanism to determine whether or not you have one of those particular injections, Staver said. He linked the fictitious plot to Microsoft founder Bill Gates, who's become a hate figure for right-wing anti-vaccine activists during the pandemic. Forget during the pandemic. Bill Gates has been the villain of the story way before the pandemic. Man, I've had, I don't know how many emails I've received about what Bill Gates is doing. He's killing everyone. And I've heard this so many times. It's like literally, it just, at some point you just become numb to it because it's just the same thing over and over and over. And listen to Alex Jones for a week, a month. And it's just like, it's the same thing over and 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 over. All right. So here he goes. He linked the fictitious plot to Microsoft founder Bill Gates, who has been a hate figure for the right-wing anti-vaccine activists during the pandemic. And an email statement to Insider, Staver denied believing the microchip theory, but did not seek to reconcile that with the times he had publicly advocated it. So when he's questioned, he's like, no, I don't believe that. But he doesn't bother to reconcile. Well, we've got all of these times where you actually said that, but no, I don't believe that. Yeah, because you don't want to be called out and get in trouble, I guess. I don't know. I mean, if you really believe it, then double down and say it. The belief that COVID-19 vaccines are being used to secretly implant tracking mechanisms or microchip has spread far and wide during the pandemic. According to a survey by YouGov for the Economist magazine in July, about half those restraint. About half those restraint to getting the shot believe the microchip claim. So I think the way this is it. Okay. I see how they did this. About half of those resistant to getting the shot believe the microchip claim. So about half of those who are resistant to get it, about half of those who are resistant, they believe the claim. That's a lot of people. With about 80 million Americans still unvaccinated, that makes millions of believers an aversion of the conspiracy theory. See, I think, there you go, about millions. See, they just earlier they said thousands. No, it's in the millions of people who believe this. Some have traced the conspiracy theory back to a Q&A given by Gates on Reddit on March the 18th, 2020, in the early days of the pandemic. He projected that the digital certificates would one day be used to identify who had recovered from the coronavirus and who had been vaccinated. The reality of today's COVID passports is not far from his prediction. His words were distorted by those who claimed that they were evidence of a secret plan to monitor and control people and gained currency from there. But the conspiracy theory has older and deeper roots, experts told Insider. A network of right-wing Christian activists and preachers helped seed those fears that public health measures would one day be used as part of a plot to secretly monitor people. It meant that there was a fertile ground for conspiracy theorists to plant doubts about the vaccines developed during the pandemic. Multiple surveys suggest that Republicans and white evangelicals are among those least willing to give to get the shot, overlapping with the most receptive audience for the microchip theory. Now, again, there has been some dispute on whether evangelical Christians are those most likely not to get the shot. There's been some that pushed back on that. But I will tell you this, white evangelical Republicans definitely are their most receptive audience for the microchip theory and for all other crazy conspiracy theories. Andrew Whitehead, an expert on the Christian right who teaches at Indiana University, said one reason some groups and individuals on the Christian right champion anti-vax views is their skepticism or even outright rejection of science as a trustworthy source of authority. In their view, science competes with the supremacy of biblicalist authority. Not any and all claims of science, though, just those they perceive to be religiously contested and politically motivated. Vaccines, and especially the COVID-19 vaccine, is in this realm. Now, let me make it very clear. There may be Christians out there claiming, no, I don't believe the science. I believe my Bible. I don't believe in science. I believe in my Bible. I don't believe the pharmaceutical companies. I believe my Bible. I don't believe the medical world. I believe my Bible. Let me state it for the billionth time. When everything goes bad and you're calling 911, you go to the very people you claim are a part of the conspiracy theory. And when they put that IV in you and start putting medications in you made by the great pharmaceutical companies, you got no problem. Just save me. Save my loved one. Which, again, is just the biggest level of hypocrisy you can even think of. But okay. Peter Montgomery, a senior researcher at People for the American Way, has for decades monitored right-wing Christian groups and their connections with the Republican Party. He said that many on the Christian right believe that humanity is living through the end days. They see in public health measures such a vaccine passports as evidence of the mark of the beast, proof of widespread allegiance to Satan that predicts the apocalypse in the Bible. For many evangelicals who believe that we are living in the end times, there's a strain of rhetoric and thinking out there about the vaccines and the idea of a vaccine passport or businesses requiring people to be vaccinated, he said. They connect it all to the mark of the beast. An implanted microchip on these lines of thinking would be an ultimate example of such a mark. It's a claim that he sees echoed in the rhetoric of Republican lawmakers who have opposed public health measures. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, I believe her name is Marjorie. Marjorie Taylor Greene, you probably have seen her yelling and screaming about some craziness. In a video on March, described the Biden administration's plans for a vaccine passport as the mark of the beast. Okay, I want you to hear that. A Republican, Marjorie Taylor Greene, in a video in March, this is just hard to even comprehend, described Biden's administration plans for a vaccine passport as the mark of the beast. I think I have the clip here.
They want you to be required to have something called a COVID passport, and this would mandate your ability to be able to travel, your ability to be able to go to events, your ability to be able to buy and sell. And I asked the question earlier today, is this something like Biden's mark of the beast? Because that is really disturbing and not good. Oh, if you're going to come into the football.
So there she got elected. She crazy. Now, you may not like, now listen, you may not like a vaccine passport idea. I want to make it very clear. You may say, you know what, I don't know about this vaccine passport thing. I don't know if I agree with this. How does this work in a free society? What should be required? What shouldn't be required? How should this work? How does this fit with public health measures? What's acceptable? What's not acceptable? You know, proof of vaccine. My daughter sent me, let's see if I have it in a text. Let's see if I have it here. Where is it? Yeah, here it is. Someone sent this to, it's, I don't know when this was made. I don't have a date. What is the date on this? Well, I'd have to, it's hard to read the writing because it's scribbled, but it's a photograph of someone's proof of vaccine for polio. And I don't know when this card was made, obviously back when the polio vaccine was a very common thing. And it's just a paper card, and it has the name of the person, Joanne. The last name's been, obviously, I'm not going to say the last name. And then it has the first dose, the next appointment, second dose, next appointment, third dose, booster dose. And I believe, in fact, let me see if I can pull this up. Yeah, this is a polio. Okay, this is a polio vaccine card found in a thrift shop. Most people today have never seen one of these, which speaks to vaccine success when people pull together and contribute to public health. All right, so there's a polio vaccine card there. Now, I don't know. Like, I would have to do some verification of everything about that to make sure how it all works, because I don't remember exactly how the polio vaccine worked. I'm trying to think, but I don't want to say anything that's incorrect. But the point is so that I understand. You can, let me state it this way. You can disagree with a vaccine passport. You can disagree with it. But be very careful than trying to claim that either the vaccine, one, contains a microchip, or two, that this is the mark of the beast from the book of Revelation. You gotta think things through logically and rationally. You can't just throw out crazy claims. And we throw out, and again, if you're worried about something tracking you, you're literally carrying it in your hand. Your phone. And I've seen Marjorie Taylor Greene with a cell phone in her hand. So you're already being tracked. And I would just remember there's been plenty of vaccine mandates where you can't go to school or you can't go to college without proof of vaccine. There's been, now, I understand this would be going much further. You can't go into concerts or you can't fly. This goes much further. And we could have, I'm willing to have a discussion about vaccine passports, about, well, I don't know, do we agree with this? Do we disagree with it? Well, how does this work for public health? How do we handle this? What's right? I got no problem having that discussion, but I don't have to go absolute crazy and say things that are just not true and accurate. As far back as a decade ago, Staver's Liberty Council, which provided legal support for those challenging federal laws on religious grounds, was drawing links between vaccines and microchip plots. A Liberty Council attorney at a public event as far back as 2010 claimed that Obama administration swine flu vaccine could be part of a plot to implant microchips. That's the swine flu vaccine. I heard it from just a normal flu vaccine. It's nonstop with people within Christianity. According to Montgomery, the student of the Christian right, the statement was a typical variant of the conspiracy theory that had circulated among right-wing evangelicals and went on to be cited by preachers at pulpits and on radio shows and on TV. It emerged again during the pandemic, where it found a vast new audience. Staver, he said, has been among the most prominent opponents of vaccines and other public health measures as the coronavirus swept the United States. In April, Staver appeared on an evangelical podcast to claim that vaccines were a part of a plot to force the submission to the experimental gene therapy, an allusion to the conspiracy theory claiming that vaccines tamper with the DNA. A month later, he went on a Voice of Christian Youth America radio station where on its crosstalk program, he claimed groundlessly that pregnant women are having miscarriages as being near by being near vaccinated people. So if you're just near someone who's vaccinated, it will cause you to have a miscarriage. I mean, just these are just the things going on within the Christian world. Other right-wing Christians have also helped spread the microchip conspiracy theory. At an investigation in July by The Verge found that an online sermon by Baptist pastor Adam Fannin played a role in popularizing the theory in the early days of the pandemic. And deep links between the right-wing evangelical movement and the QAnon conspiracy theory movement also helped boost anti-vaccine conspiracy theories, said Joe Ondrak, a head of investigation at Logically AI, a UK-based company that uses AI to track disinformation. The Mark of the Beast gets heavily folded into QAnon conspiracy theories as well, he said, noting that both movements involve the belief that satanic elites are plotting against ordinary Americans. Staver, in an email reply to questions from an insider, denied believing the vaccines are used to implant microchips. That is false. That is not my opinion, he said. On the issue of whether the vaccines cause infertility, he said that is unknown whether they cause infertility since the issue was not part of the clinical trials and data will not be available for some time. The CDC has said there is no evidence that the vaccines harm fertility and a growing body of evidence that they do not. The agency initially limited its advice on taking the vaccine while pregnant, but in August 2021 updated its position and clearly recommended it, citing new data. Staver went on to argue that there were many credible reports of adverse reactions to the vaccine. We speak with many healthcare workers and doctors to learn about what they are seeing in addition to the data, he said, without giving any specifics. Of course, not everyone has adverse events, but the adverse events cannot be ignored and must be investigated rather than merely discounting them. Adverse effects are already subject to monitoring like that described by Staver. The CDC noted that the FDA and other agencies are monitoring such events. On occasion, it has acted on them, prompting policies like the pause in the Johnson & Johnson vaccine rollout in April, which it was lifted after 11 days. All right, there you have it. There's the entire article. Now, I could just lose my mind here and rant and rave. I don't know what to do here other than beg and plead. If you are a Christian, please, I beg you, stop spreading false information. Just because you see a YouTube video, just because someone on Facebook tells you something, it doesn't make it true. You've got to do research. And here's the problem. Christianity has a built-in mistrust of the world. The way Christians think, we have a built-in mistrust of the world. We see the world as being in darkness, and we have the light. They're all deceived. We have the truth. So therefore, we cannot trust them on anything. Now, we're not consistent with this because we obviously trust them for all kinds of things. We buy cars, we buy food, we buy all kinds of things. We do all kinds of things that were designed, built, created, perfected by people who are in the world who are not Christians. But when certain situation arises, we fall back into, oh wait, can't trust them. So, hey, I can't trust the world. So when they say people are dying of COVID, it can't be true. Why? Because COVID became political, became a right-left thing. So now we go back to our religion and we use our religion to prop up our ideological political belief. So COVID is all a Democrat plot to keep Trump from getting reelected and to destroy the world. That's what it is. So therefore, I don't believe anything the news says. Now, they'll hear a news report about something else and they will believe it. So it's like sometimes they believe the news, sometimes they don't believe the news. And they usually don't have any real basis for why they believe one thing and disbelieve another thing other than then pointing to some secondary source. And then when you look at the secondary source, you're like, so your secondary source is this website, this article from a site that's clearly been called into question for its accuracy and been demonstrated to be fraudulent and false millions of times. Or however many times. I'm just throwing out a hypothetical, exaggerated number to make my point, but you get the idea. And it's like it's so frustrating because it's hard to have these conversations with many within the body of Christ because they will argue that they're the ones being spiritual. They don't trust the world. They know the world lies under is in the control of the prince of the air, of Satan, and therefore you can't trust it. But they still will trust plenty of things. So it's hard to reason with them. Once they get going down this path, and at some point you just like, look, everyone was, how long do you continue this line of thinking before you start realizing that maybe you've been sold a lie? Like, at what point do you wake up? And for some, they never wake up. They just continue and they continue and they continue. No matter what, they'll throw out the craziest conspiracy theory. And when it's proven wrong, they don't care. They just move on to the next one. And I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix the problem within American Christianity. I don't. But that's embarrassing. Now, this is where I get angry. That's the news media reporting what's going on within American Christianity, where they have sources and quotes from people saying these things. Again, I've heard this nonsense very early on in the pandemic. I played the audio clip from a podcast where we were told this, that this is what's going to happen. The vaccine is going to put nanobots, like, okay, these micro robots into our bodies, right? And then what's going to happen is those nanobots are going to be in your body. It's like the vaccine's going to put them in you, right? Boom, it goes into your body. And your whole body, your bloodstream is filled with these nanobots, okay? And then here's what's going to happen. At some point, 5G, all these 5G towers are going to be activated. And when they do, boom, those nanobots are going to turn on. And when they turn on, they're going to override your will and your ability to think, and therefore will bring you into submission when the Antichrist is revealed. The way the Antichrist is going to take over the world, he's going to do so through nanobots that are injected in your body through the COVID-19 vaccine, which is going to be mandated. And then when the 5G is turned on, then you'll just surrender yourself and surrender your will to the Antichrist. So the only way to keep yourself from surrendering to the Antichrist is to avoid the COVID-19 vaccine. Then you will maintain your will and your ability to follow God. So if you get the vaccine, you're finished. You're done. You're going to surrender to the Antichrist and you're going to go to hell. That's literally what was taught on a Christian podcast. Now, this is what drives me crazy. All of this stuff is floating around, swimming around Christianity. But guess what? You've got Christians yelling and screaming that the greatest threat to Christianity is critical race theory. What we need to do is worry about critical race theory. What we need to do is worry about the book White Fragility. That's going to be the end of the world. What we got to do is worry about Black Lives Matter. All of these things on the left. That's what the Christians are yelling and screaming about and completely overlooking that you've got all of this crazy nonsense spreading within American Christianity on the right. Conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory. Craziness that everything's going to inject you with, you know, microchips, and that it's just one crazy theory after another. And you just look around sometimes and you're like, I don't even know. Can I just beam me up, Scotty? There's no intelligent life down here. Get me out of here. That's almost like, you know, what you feel like. And it's sad. It's sad that you talk to Christians, you're just stop. Never mind. Just get me away. Because never mind. You just look at them like, okay, I can't talk to you. I can't talk to Christians. Because Christians are just out there throwing out the crazy things that Christians will say. And you're just like, I can't. Forget it. I'll just find me some atheists to hang out with. They're more, I hate to say it, but in my estimation, in many cases, atheists seem to be more reasonable, more logical, and more thoughtful than many within the body of Christ, which is throwing out every absolute insane, crazy conspiracy theory in the world. I mean, let's just think of this, and I'll end with this. I know I've already gone longer than I wanted to, but it's just like, oh, and I'm trying to be calm because I really wish I could understand it. It's just, how can you understand irrationality, paranoia, and just almost a willingness to be deceived by any crazy theory without even understanding how to process and determine what is true and what is false? I've tried to get my people in my church to understand this forever. And so I think sometimes I've still failed. It's like because they still, I'm like, what? Why? Where is that coming from? Like, that's not, think for yourself. Think logic. See, I'm getting ready to go in a full blown rant. I'm trying not to. But here's just show you how wacky Christians think. All right, so pandemic's going on. We have a public health crisis. So they come up with policy saying, you know what? We got to limit the number of people who can be in a building. We got to require masks and we require social distancing. All right, so whatever you think about that, fine. You may hate it. You may disagree. That's okay. But then Christians looked at that and go, oh no, you're persecuting us. You're persecuting us. You're trying to shut down the church, our religious freedom, and started yelling and screaming and going nuts. Even though there were businesses all around them facing the same restrictions and the same mandates, movie theaters, concerts, sporting events. Oh, it was all over television watching sporting events with nobody in the stands. But no. It was an attack upon Christianity. It was an attack upon Christianity. Our rights, religious freedom is under attack. At the very same time, Christians were running around looking for a microphone and a camera to scream and yell that our rights are being taken away and we're being persecuted. Christian churches were taking in millions and millions and millions of dollars in the PPP loan, the Paycheck Protection Program loans, from the very government they yelled and screamed was persecuting them. Now, let me just throw out a theory here. Typically, when the church has been persecuted in church history, the very government that was persecuting them was not also giving them millions of dollars in order to maintain their staff and to maintain and be able to continue to operate during a time of crisis. Typically, no, if you wanted to get rid of the church, you would put their restrictions. Hopefully that would stop all of their donations and then they would go away. You wouldn't turn around and then give them millions of dollars so that if their donations were not coming in, they would still be able to maintain their staff and still continue to be able to operate. That makes no sense from the persecution thing. But guess what? Christians? No. They don't care about the PPP loans. They don't care. I've talked about them. Me and my daughter spent an evening one night with an iPad and a phone looking up on the government database, going, okay, which churches in the local area have received money? They received $600,000? Are you crazy? That went, received $300,000? And we were just like, but these are the churches that we could go listen to their sermons going, the government's trying to shut us down. The government hates Jesus. They're trying to get rid of us. They're going to lock us up in FEMA camps. They're coming for you, but we're going to stand. We're not afraid. We love Jesus. They can't shut us down. They can't stop us. Oh, well, in the meantime, they're taking money from the federal government. Yeah, because the government's really trying to shut you down. I mean, they're coming for you. I'm telling you, they're coming for you. You just demonstrate that you're a joke. And now articles have to be written going, you know, it's the Christians promoting this crazy, you know, microchip theory. And it's just like, yeah, that's how we're going to get the mark of the beast. You're going to get the mark of the beast? Well, think of it. Without knowing it. See, you're just going to go get a vaccine. Oh, no! I've got the mark! No, it's not going to be an actual acknowledgement that I'm taking the mark of the beast because I'm worshiping the beast and I'm turning from God. No. It's going to be done in secret. See, now it's all about, they're going to trick you. And if I want to say it again. If the purpose of the chip is to track you, why do you own a cell phone and why do you have a social media account? Delete your social media. Because it takes your information. Facebook and others sell your information. Get rid of that and get rid of your cell phone. And you may want to disconnect your internet because your IP address usually is linked to your physical address where your modem is, unless you're using some software to protect your IP address where you're hiding your IP address. What's that called? A VP? I can't think. Or VIP. I can't remember what it's called. Right. So you can sign up for it and then it basically you can. It gives you a different IP where you can connect it to a different location. And so it's not connected to your location. I mean, if you're willing to do all of those things, but the average Christian running around making all of these claims doesn't see the utter hypocrisy. You've got a Facebook account and you've got a cell phone. Oh boy, you're really worried about being tracked. You're really, really worried about your privacy. You're really, really worried about your data being used. Now, come on. If you're worried about all of that, you think there's some grand conspiracy. Delete your social media, cancel your internet, cancel your phone, and smash it into a million pieces. Don't have a home computer, don't have laptop, don't have any connection at all to anything. Go off the grid. And then, by all means, then stay away from the vaccine that supposedly has the microchip in it. And you know what? I would probably want to stay away from IVs. I mean, you know, I mean, you never can trust it, right? If you're going to get an IV when you go to, because typically in America, if you go into the emergency room, they're going to put an IV in you right from the start, right? They're going to put that IV. You get in an ambulance, boom. Anyone shows up in the medical world, they're going to put an IV in you, right? Because now they have that. That just gives them that now if they need to place any other medication in you, they can just use the IV. They have a point of entry right there. But don't put an IV in me. Don't, because I don't know what you're putting. You're putting microchips in me. Don't, just stay away from everything. Say, you know what? They could be putting microchips in your food. You probably should just stop eating. Don't drink the water. Don't eat. They could put them in the air. Don't breathe. Don't breathe. Don't eat. Don't drink. Don't have a cell phone. Don't have the internet. Don't seek any medical care. Just don't do anything, because anything can be used to give you the chip. I mean, that's literally where you'll end up in the point of an insane asylum, where you're sitting in a corner drooling on yourself, coloring pictures of ponies, because that's what happens. You just lose your mind. But no, we only go this way for certain things. And what's driving it is not truth. It's not logic. It's not reason. It's not even real research. It's political. It's ideological. You're being used and you're being manipulated for people's own political gain. And Christianity's got to stop it. All right. I'll stop right there. Yeah. We're at an hour. All right. There you go. That's what's happening in American Christianity. And it's sad. All right. I'll stop right there. Everyone have a great day. I'll be back on the air here shortly. God bless. You can always email me newsif@yahoo.com. newsif@yahoo.com, where you can send me all your research and you can tell me how I'm already microchipped and I've already taken the mark of the beast and how I'm going to go to hell and then I'm blinded by. Feel free to send me all your stuff telling me that I'm going to go to hell and then I'm a tool of Satan. And I go on. I get it all the time. Go ahead. Send me some more. Tell me. I know. And it's always funny that when people send that, they send it not so much like, oh, man, I feel so bad for you. I'm praying for you. I love you. No. It's basically like, you piece of human garbage, you're going to go to hell. And it's almost like they celebrate the fact that I'm going to go to hell and that I'm blinded by Satan. They don't seem to show any compassion or love. No. It's like, you're going to go to hell. You took the mark of the beast. You're garbage. Oh, like, okay, well, thank you so much for your love and compassion. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you for demonstrating that you're very spiritual in it. Oh, no, you're demonstrating a complete lack of spirituality. Well, you're trying to prove that you're right, which probably demonstrates that maybe your whole theory is inherently about you and not about God. Don't know. Just a thought. All right. Everyone have a great day. God bless.